Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, May 4th, 2024. ExxonMobil expects more jobs with deal done. Already a major producer, not just in the Permian Basin, but globally, ExxonMobil just got even more major with the completion of its $60 billion acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources. Quote, "We're really excited for today," end quote, said Bart Cahir, ExxonMobil's Senior Vice President, Upstream Conventional, quote, "It's an important day," end quote. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram via video conference, Cahir said he expects the newly combined entity will need more hands on deck. He said he expects the workforce to grow as the company's Permian footprint grows. Quote, "Within 2 months, we will give everyone job offers so they understand where this is going. In Midland, we will need all we have on both teams. It will be an exciting time," end quote, he said. But for now, those with Pioneer won't see many changes, he said, citing as an example how they are paid. In the 6 months since the deal was announced, Cahir said the two companies have been working through an integration plan that included what he called talent discovery of Pioneer's people, their capabilities, and their desires as they build a blueprint of how the new company will be laid out. Quote, "For the people of Pioneer, if you want a career in the Permian Basin, because we will be there for many, many decades, they will have that opportunity. But with ExxonMobil, they can also, through time, if they want to move on and expand their horizons, we can offer that new career path," end quote, Cahir said. With the merger, ExxonMobil has added Pioneer's more than 850,000 net acres in the Midland Basin to its existing 570,000 net acres in both the Midland and Delaware Basins. It also now boasts a workforce of over 2,000 in the region. With the close, ExxonMobil has more than doubled its Permian production volume to 1.3 million barrels of oil equivalent per day. That is expected to rise to approximately 2 billion BOE in 2027. As importantly, he said, it will accelerate net zero emissions goals. ExxonMobil is targeted achieving that goal by 2030 and can now transition the Pioneer assets to net zero emissions by 2035, much faster than Pioneer's 2050 goal. As to water, he said ExxonMobil will honor the contracts with both the cities of Midland and Odessa to take their wastewater. Cahir called that infrastructure best in class, and by integrating the two networks, will achieve a goal of recycling 90% of produced water, if not more, by 2030. ExxonMobil's central monitoring headquarters can also monitor the water infrastructure for emissions. The new assets will also let ExxonMobil expand technologies like 4-mile laterals and cube development, and develop new technologies to improve capital efficiencies and resource recovery. Cahir said, ExxonMobil also realizes the importance of Pioneer's commitments to community organizations throughout the area, and is not only intent on continuing those commitments, as well as its own existing commitments. West Texas Food Bank expands Odessa campus. The West Texas Food Bank Odessa held a ribbon cutting for its expanded campus at 411 South Pagewood Avenue Friday. The West Texas Food Bank exists to collect, purchase, and distribute food to hungry children, families, and seniors in 19 West Texas counties. The expansion includes a nearly 10,000 square foot volunteer center and 32,000 total square feet of facilities. CEO Libby Stevens also said part of the project is a new educational garden center. Trey Fournier, a representative from 1.5, said the West Texas Food Bank is working to improve their region. Quote, "Today we're introducing the 1.5 Teaching Gardens, which will provide additional green space and renovation of raised garden beds and agricultural resources," end quote, Fournier said. The space will focus on harvesting rain, which will attract butterflies and bees, as well as providing a location to grow herbs and vegetables, according to Fournier. Quote, "We hope that the teaching gardens will become a space for those interested in the environment to learn more," end quote. Fournier added that the expanded volunteer center will have the capability to double the on-site storage capabilities to 5.3 million pounds of non-perishable food. Lorraine Perryman, a community advocate for the project, reflected on the expansion of the food bank over the years. She described the old West Texas Food Bank Odessa location on 2 Street. She said it had no air conditioning and poor parking, and the operation was difficult due to a cramped building. Quote, look at where we are now, end quote, she said. Perryman said the expansion comes from Stephen's vision and the vision of the West Texas Food Bank to improve their West Texas. Spring allergy season is here. Experts say relief is possible. As the West Texas wind stirs the dance of spring, trees and grasses release their bounty into the air, blanketing the landscape in a swirl of potential sniffles and sneezes. For those battling seasonal allergies, take heart. Experts promise relief is just around the corner. James Tarbox, MD, an allergist at Texas Tech Physicians, spoke about adult onset allergies. Quote, we see a lot of allergies in kids, end quote, Tarbox said in a press statement. Quote, but some percent of the population do not develop allergies until their 20s, 30s, or even older, end quote. According to the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology, seasonal allergic rhinitis, e.g. the common cold, hay fever, affects approximately 25% of the adult population in the United States. What is the root cause of allergies in adults? Medical experts say that certain factors such as genetics, the environment, and exposure can all potentially contribute. Quote, elevated levels of tree and grass pollen as well as dirt debris can trigger a reaction, end quote, Tarbox said. Allergies develop over time when an individual's immune system overreacts to certain foreign substances. While spring allergies in West Texas can start in February, they can last until early summer. Depending on the type of allergic profile a person fits also determines the range of symptoms from mild to severe. Common symptoms of adult onset allergies include runny nose, itchy eyes, sneezing, and congestion. Quote, if your nose is running or you're coughing, that can be a detriment, end quote, Tarbox said. Quote, you can also have trouble exercising due to shortness of breath, end quote. An allergy test offers an accurate diagnosis for patients wanting to get to the root of the problem. Medications such as over-the-counter antihistamines, nasal sprays, saline rinses, and inhalers can also offer relief from allergy symptoms. Tarbox cautioned that adult patients should be careful when taking new medications due to unwanted side effects. For example, some allergy medications can react badly to heart medications, inhalers, and mood stabilizers. Quote, while many adults might only have mild symptoms, there's always the potential you can end up having a severe reaction, end quote, Tarbox said. For those concerned about their allergy symptoms and looking for easy ways to manage them, Tarbox recommended talking with an allergist to discuss treatment options. Quote, just because you didn't have these symptoms growing up doesn't mean you have to live with them now, end quote, he said. Odessa police solve cold case. Man was gunned down in front of young son in 2019. The Odessa Police Department believes it has cracked a cold case file where a murder victim was gunned down in front of his young son in front of his home. On November 21, 2019, the Odessa Police Department responded to a gunshot victim in the 1700 block of Dotsie Avenue. Once officers arrived, they found the victim, Brandon Swinney, was shot to death near his home. Quote, Brandon has just arrived home with his young son from baseball practice, end quote, the department stated in a release. Quote, when Brandon got out of his truck, he went to the side entrance of his house and his son went towards the front, end quote. Those steps were the last steps that Swinney made as he was gunned down shortly after arriving home. His young son was able to run away to safety. 4 years passed as Odessa police detectives pored over leads and searched for answers. Despite the police department having surveillance footage showing the killer's face, Odessa detectives never received any clear answers as to the killer's identity. However, with advancements in forensic network signal technology, the Odessa homicide team was able to find a lead into the killer's identity. Quote, I am proud to announce that we have secured a warrant for the person who we believe is responsible for the murder of Brandon Swinney, end quote, said Odessa Police Chief Mike Girk. Quote, Roman Aguilar Alvarado is 55 years old and is currently serving a lengthy prison sentence in the Federal Bureau of Prisons for unrelated drug charges. For reasons that can only be described as petty jealousy, Brandon Swinney was killed in cold blood, end quote. Girk extended his thanks to Detective Lauren Gonzalez of Odessa's Cold Case Unit for her work on the case. He also extended his condolences to the victim's family. Quote, I know that the past 4 years have been filled with frustrations and wonder, end quote, he said. quote, "It is my hope that this arrest can help you in the next phase of healing," end quote. Mainly Midland, Book Drive, Thriving United, Awarded, and more. Here are some of the weekly news and events compiled from the Permian Basin. If you have news to share, please email mrt_news@hearstnp.com. Midland County Republican Women Book Drive for Rope Youth. Details: the Midland County Republican Women will be hosting a book drive for Rope Youth. Please bring new and gently used children and young adult books to the meeting on Wednesday to benefit Rope Youth's bookmobile. Thriving United of Midland. Thriving United of Midland receives Governor's Criminal Justice Volunteer Service Award. Details: Thriving United of Midland, Texas, was presented the Judge Carol Wilborn Jr. Award during the 29th Annual Governor's Criminal Justice Volunteer Services Awards Ceremony. The award was presented by Texas First Lady Cecilia Abbott, Texas Board of Criminal Justice Chairman Eric Nichols, and Texas Department of Criminal Justice, TDCJ, Executive Director Brian Collier at a ceremony in Austin. For the past 3 years, Thriving United has fostered a strong community partnership and addressed a critical need. Thriving United partners with the Midland Community Supervision and Corrections Department, CSCD, connecting probationers with recovery programs and supporting their journey. They utilize evidence-based practices to offer peer support, community service opportunities, recovery residences, and connections to vital resources. Additionally, they provide emotional support and empower clients to build purposeful lives. Their dedication and exceptional work ethic make them stand out within our community. Thriving United was one of 22 individuals and organizations from across the state recognized for their efforts to help inmates and those who are on parole or probation. They donate many hours of their time every year to change lives. Midland Youth Advisory Council. Midland Youth Advisory Council Service Project and Graduation. Details: the inaugural class of the Midland Youth Advisory Council finished with the completion of a service project at Hogan Park on Saturday and has a graduation ceremony slated for May 13th. The Midland Youth Advisory Council is a collaboration with the City of Midland and the Bush Family Home State Historic Site. The council empowers youth to become active members of the community. The members learn about municipal government, networking, public service, and leadership. Youth members gathered at Hogan Park on Saturday to complete their service project by painting the concession stand. The youth who attended 90% of the meetings and completed the service project receive a letter of recommendation they can use for college applications or scholarships. The graduation on May 13th begins at 5 p.m. and will be a celebration of the youth's achievements throughout the year. City Councilwoman Robin Poole and the Bush Family Home Site Manager Troy Gray are planning to speak. Certificates and recommendation letters will be handed out at that time. Interest rate uncertainty sends oil prices lower. Interest rates were in the spotlight as traders focused on interest rates. As U.S. inflation remains higher than the Federal Reserve likes, investors are concerned about the impact of higher for longer borrowing costs on economic growth, especially as the Fed decided to hold interest rates steady this week. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 6.8% for the week, the steepest weekly loss in 3 months as traders weighed the timing of possible rate cuts this year, as well as Friday's weak jobs report. WTI fell all 5 trading days, highlighted by a $2.93 plunge Wednesday that sent futures below the $80 level. Prices fell another 84 cents Friday to end the week at $78.11, down from $83.85 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $74.59, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures reported a strong week on the NYMEX, opening the week with a 10.7 cent jump, followed by a 10 cent decline Tuesday and Wednesday before surging 10.3 cents Thursday, and an additional 10.7 cents Friday, to close the week at $2.142 per MCF, up from $1.614 last Friday. Jack Weeksel, senior director at East Daily Analytics, told the reporter Telegram the forecast for heat in the Midwest helped lift gas prices. Despite a down week, Morningstar DBRS said this week it is increasing its WTI oil price forecast amid the convergence of geopolitical tensions and wars, prolonged OPEC Plus cuts, and stronger than expected year-to-date global consumption. The company is increasing its WTI 2024 outlook to $75 a barrel from $65 a barrel. It is also reducing its NYMEX natural gas price forecast to $2.50 per MCF from $3.50 amid the larger-than-expected surplus of North American gas. However, Morningstar DBS expects the U.S. natural gas supply-demand balance to gradually tighten as low prices discourage new production and simultaneously incentivize new demand through 2024. Rig count falls for second consecutive week. Drilling activity continues to tumble, cooled by low natural gas prices and a focus on fiscal discipline over growing oil production by oil and gas producers. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 sank 8 rigs, the biggest weekly decline since September 2023, to 605. That is 143 rigs, or 19% below the 748 rigs active a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil tumbled 7 rigs, the biggest weekly drop since November 2023, to 499 rigs, 89 fewer than the 588 rigs reported last May. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell to the lowest level since December 2021, dropping 3 rigs to 102. That's 55 fewer rigs seeking natural gas than a year ago. Texas followed the national trend, dropping 5 rigs to 292 for the week, down 76 rigs from 368 active across the state last year. New Mexico added a rig for 108 rigs working in the state. Alaska 5 and Utah 1 joined Texas as producing states to see a decline, while Louisiana 2 joined New Mexico in seeing a gain. The Permian Basin lost 1 rig to have 316 rigs operating in the region, down 40 from 356 rigs the previous May. Eddy County, New Mexico remains the most active county in the Permian, reporting 56 rigs for a third consecutive week. Lee County, New Mexico was second with 49 rigs, up 1 for the week. Martin County reported the biggest gain, jumping 4 rigs to 38 for the week. Reeves County reported 25 rigs, down 1. Midland and Loving counties each reported 22 rigs, unchanged for Midland and down 1 for Reeves. Reagan County had 16 rigs for a second week, and Upton County had 15 rigs for a second consecutive week. Ward County lost 1 rig for 10. Howard County reported the steepest decline, falling 3 rigs to 7. Hockley County saw no activity for the week after losing the 1 rig at work within county lines. Energy-dedicated software as a service firm Enverus said its U.S. rig count for the week ended April 26th fell 7 rigs to 636 from the previous week and is 162 rigs, or 20% below the 798 reported a year earlier. ConocoPhillips and EOG Resources topped the list of top 10 operators by working rig count with 29 rigs each. Occidental Petroleum was next with 26 rigs. Enverus Permian Basin rig count fell 4 rigs to 311 for the same week, 57 rigs, or 57% below the 368 rigs active in the play a year earlier. The most active play, the Delaware, had 172 rigs, down 2 for the week, and down 28 rigs, or 14%, from 200 a year earlier. The second most active, the Midland Basin, had 120 rigs, down 3 for the week and down 25 rigs, or 17%, from 145 the previous April. In terms of trailing 30-day permits, Enverus reported the Permian had 617 permits as of the week ended April 12th, down from 681 the previous week and 748 a year ago. During that same week, the Permian had 128 frac crews, down from 131 the previous week and 169 the previous year. Man killed in Dawson County collision. Dawson County. A two-vehicle collision resulted in the death of one man on Thursday. The crash occurred at the intersection of U.S. 87 and County Road L around 3:04 p.m. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, 89-year-old Rex Zant of Lamesa was transported to Medical Arts Hospital in Lamesa, where he was later pronounced dead by medical staff. Two vehicles were involved in the fatal crash, a 2023 Toyota Camry and a 2019 GMC Acadia. The driver of the Camry was reported as 37-year-old John Villalobos of Lubbock. Villalobos was transported to UMC Lubbock, where he was treated with serious injuries. The preliminary information in the traffic report revealed that the Camry was traveling east on County Road L, while Zant was traveling south on U.S. 87 in the Acadia. The driver of the Camry reportedly failed to yield the right-of-way at a stop sign, marked intersection, and struck the Acadia. This crash remains under investigation. Oil Report. Speakers, topics set for environmental seminar. A varied combination of regulators and industry representatives will gather next week for Midland College's Permian Basin Environmental Regulatory Seminar. The annual event will be held May 9th at the Bush Convention Center, with registration opening at 7:30 a.m. Quote, "It's a good balance of regulators and industry," end quote, said Chelsea Gann, Director of Workforce Continuing Education at Midland College. Speakers will address a wide variety of topics, from induced seismicity to, quote, forever chemicals, end quote, to methane. Gann said she believes Kaylin McDermott's presentation on, quote, PFAS in oil and gas, understanding the facts, breaking down the myths, and protecting your operations, end quote, will be a hot topic. McDermott is with GeoSyntech Consultants. Another presentation she believes will be popular, focusing on drones in the oil patch. Dan Chance with Venture Robotics will present, quote, drones and their operational impacts in the petroleum industry, end quote. Drones, observed Gann, quote, are up and coming, especially in the oil and gas industry, end quote. New technological developments will include a presentation from Ernie Miller and John Doyle with Verde Clean Fuels, who will close out the seminar. Verde and Diamondback Energy have teamed up to build a natural gas to gasoline facility on a Diamondback facility in Martin County. Miller and Doyle will give a presentation on, quote, waste to gasoline, how to decarbonize transportation fuels and green the oil field, end quote. Regulatory agencies will be well represented, with Becky Griffin and Dion David with the New Mexico State Land Office opening the seminar with a presentation introducing the agency's Environmental Compliance Office. Tom Fouts with the Railroad Commission will speak on hydrogen sulfide, and Tamer Shake with the Environmental Protection Agency will offer EPA regulatory updates with an energy perspective. Michael Lozano with the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, Jennifer Bradford with Bradford Consulting and Legal Services, Mark Henkus with Permian Regulatory Solutions, and Terry Statham with Marathon Oil will participate in a panel discussion offering industry insight on state regulatory challenges and opportunities. A second panel discussion will focus on methane and emissions regulations with David Elam of TRC Companies, Grant Schwartzfelder with OTA Environmental Solutions, Jennifer Blackledge with Champion X, and Caitlin Capps with Cube Technologies. Cody Comiskey with Chevron will give a presentation on the issues and opportunities surrounding induced seismicity and produced water management in the Permian Basin. FTC asks Diamondback for more information on Endeavor deal. Diamondback Energy's $26 billion merger with Endeavor Energy Resources could be happening a little later than anticipated. Company chairman of the board and chief executive officer, Travis Stice, said in a letter to shareholders that was part of a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission's that on April 29th, the company had received a second request for information and documents from the Federal Trade Commission. Quote, "This second request was factored into our previously announced closing timeline. We will expect the Endeavor transaction to close in the fourth quarter of this year and will provide more information when possible," end quote, he wrote. Stice noted that Diamondback stockholders had recently voted to approve what he called a transformation combination with Endeavor, quote, creating the must-own North American independent oil company, end quote. The combined entity will have approximately 838,000 net acres and produce 816,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. It will also have approximately 6,100 economically viable locations at approximately $40 per barrel. Produced Water Research Recognized with Award. Well-known Midland oilman Bernald M. Bruno Hansen promoted environmental awareness and new procedures to protect the environment during his career, which included serving as president of the American Association of Petroleum Geologists. His pioneering efforts resulted in the creation of the Bruno Hansen/Midland College Environmental Excellence Award. The award, which annually honors a company's environmental efforts, is presented at the Permian Basin Environmental Regulatory Seminar. This year's award, to be presented during the seminar on May 9th, is being given to Texas Pacific Water Resources for its research into treating and recycling produced water. Quote, I am honored to be included in the selection committee for the 2024 Midland College Bruno Hansen Environmental Excellence Award. This year, the committee has selected Texas Pacific Water Resources for their innovative approach to addressing water management challenges in the oil and gas industry, end quote. Gretchen Hansen Bach, Hansen's daughter, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Bach, a member of the award selection committee, added, quote, they have a state-of-the-art testing facility in Midland County, where they have pioneered examining the effects of treated produced water on flora and soil, aiming to transform what is currently deemed as waste into a valuable resource. My father would have been excited to see the technology used today to help with the environment. He was an outdoorsman, a geologist, and an environmentalist. I know he would have shown great support for this year's award winner, end quote. Robert Crane, Executive Vice President of Texas Pacific Water Resources, told the Reporter-Telegram, the company was formed in 2017 as a subsidiary of the Texas Pacific Land Trust to develop and manage water assets across the TPLC surface. Within 2 years, the company had built one of the largest water networks in the Permian Basin, taking advantage of a land position that places them in the vicinity of many produced water offtake and disposal/discharge points. The company began performing more in-depth desalination and beneficial reuse research in early 2022 and began operating its first desalination pilot plant in August 2023. Quote, we began looking into beneficial reuse initially because we saw a benefit in having the ability to desalinate brackish groundwater, as well as produced water in effort to decrease disposal volumes and improve water quality in our current operations, end quote, he told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, we have continued to pursue research and development into desalination and beneficial reuse because we see many benefits to the environment, the state of Texas, and the oil and gas industry, if we can develop a safe alternative to traditional disposal practices, end quote. Fellow selection committee member Richard Brantley, Senior Vice President, Operations at University Lands, commented, quote, in my opinion, Texas Pacific Water Resources, TPWR, is an exceptionally deserving recipient of the 2024 Bruno Hansen Environmental Stewardship Award. Due to their transparent communication of strategies, extensive research on beneficial reuse technologies, and notable adaptation of food processing technology to purify water, showcasing outstanding leadership and scientific advancement, end quote. Adrienne Lopez, Technical Research and Development Manager at Texas Pacific Water, told the Reporter-Telegram by email that the next steps include a land application pilot permit, which the Railroad Commission has granted. This pilot has begun irrigating a small alfalfa field at the company's research facility. The soil, crops, and water will be analyzed in-house by third-party accredited laboratories and by New Mexico State University to determine the safety and viability of utilizing treated, produced water for irrigation in a true Permian Basin setting. She said the company has also partnered with NMSU to perform water quality, human, and aquatic health risk assessments, as well as whole effluent toxicity testing. Characterization research will be performed to identify and quantify any remaining traces of contaminants that are specific to produced water, she wrote. Finally, the company has applied for a permit to discharge treated desalinated water into a tributary of the upper region of the Pecos River. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality deemed the permit administratively complete and the company is working with TCEQ to provide all further necessary information and data to prove the safety of the process, with hopes of being granted a permit by the middle of 2025. Stephen Robertson, Executive Vice President, Permian Basin Petroleum Association, and a committee member, stated, quote, "The Bruno Hansen Environmental Excellence Award is a great and well-deserved complement of Texas Pacific Water Resources' commitment and innovation on produced water for beneficial reuse. The leadership they have shown in this arena should be lauded by all and should be used as a model for others to follow. They have proven to be a steward in a space where the problems are existential to the industry's long-term success in the Permian Basin," end quote. Texas Pacific Water Resources, quote, "has really set the standard in produced water research. They have taken this work upon themselves, are willing to showcase their findings, and support the oil and gas industry by serving the industry's water needs. I believe they are deserving of this award as they are setting the standard in produced water research and purification," end quote, said Mark Henkus with Permian Regulatory Solutions and a selection committee member. Spring allergy season is here. Experts say relief is possible. As the West Texas wind stirs the dance of spring, trees and grasses release their bounty into the air, blanketing the landscape in a swirl of potential sniffles and sneezes. For those battling seasonal allergies, take heart. Experts promise relief is just around the corner. James Tarbox, MD, an allergist at Texas Tech Physicians, spoke about adult-onset allergies. Quote, "We see a lot of allergies in kids," end quote, Tarbox said in a press statement. Quote, "But some percent of the population do not develop allergies until their 20s, 30s, or even older," end quote. According to the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology, seasonal allergic rhinitis, e.g. the common cold, hay fever, affects approximately 25% of the adult population in the United States. What is the root cause of allergies in adults? Medical experts say that certain factors such as genetics, the environment, and exposure can all potentially contribute. Quote, "Elevated levels of tree and grass pollen as well as dirt debris can trigger a reaction," end quote, Tarbox said. Allergies develop over time when an individual's immune system overreacts to certain foreign substances. While spring allergies in West Texas can start in February, they can last until early summer. Depending on the type of allergic profile a person fits also determines the range of symptoms from mild to severe. Common symptoms of adult-onset allergies include runny nose, itchy eyes, sneezing, and congestion. Quote, "If your nose is running or you're coughing, that can be a detriment," end quote, Tarbox said. Quote, "You can also have trouble exercising due to shortness of breath," end quote. An allergy test offers an accurate diagnosis for patients wanting to get to the root of the problem. Medications such as over-the-counter antihistamines, nasal sprays, saline rinses, and inhalers can also offer relief from allergy symptoms. Tarbox cautioned that adult patients should be careful when taking new medications due to unwanted side effects. For example, some allergy medications can react badly to heart medications, inhalers, and mood stabilizers. Quote, "While many adults might only have mild symptoms, there's always the potential you can end up having a severe reaction," end quote, Tarbox said. For those concerned about their allergy symptoms and looking for easy ways to manage them, Tarbox recommended talking with an allergist to discuss treatment options. Quote, "Just because you didn't have these symptoms growing up doesn't mean you have to live with them now," end quote, he said. Life tributes. Mary Joyce Grossens, 225-1939, to 419-2024. Mary Joyce Grossens, 85, of Midland, passed away on Friday, April 19, 2024. Joyce was born on February 25, 1939, in Jacksboro, Texas, on the Kraft Ranch to W.H. Sewell and Mattie Merle Carter Sewell. Joyce is survived by a sister, Virginia Faye Fowler, and husband Sam Fowler of Angleton, Texas. She is survived by two children, her son Justin Kaler and wife Audrey Kaler of Lingleville, Texas, and her daughter Teresa Mills and husband Michael Mills of Midland, Texas. She is survived and was blessed with six grandchildren, the loves of her life, Denny Mills of Midland, Texas, Dylan Kaler and wife Chantel Kaler of Midland, Texas, Logan Kaler and fiancé Morgan Atkins of Tolar, Texas, David Mills and wife Melissa Mills of Amarillo, Texas, Elizabeth Mills of Midland, Texas, and Blake Fletcher of Gunter, Texas. She is also survived by two great-grandchildren, her youngest loves, Madeline Frazier and Kara Kaler of Midland, Texas. Joyce is also survived by three nieces and two nephews, Christina Fowler Davis of Jones Creek, Texas, Samantha Fowler of West Columbia, Texas, Mindy Jones and husband Floyd of Angleton, Texas, Toby Jones of Lake Jackson, Texas, and Sammy Jones of Angleton, Texas. Joyce is preceded in death by her father, W.H. Sewell, mother Maddie Merle Carter Sewell, sister Linda Grace Jones of Angleton, Texas, and niece Leandra Fowler Harvey of Angleton, Texas. There will be a private celebration of life service on May 18, 2024. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Liza Velasquez Vasquez, 2/7/1975 to 4/25/2024. Liza Velasquez Vasquez, age 49, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord April 25th, 2024. She was born February 7, 1975, in Odessa, Texas, to the late Vicente Velasquez Jr. and Lasara Gonzalez Velasquez. Left to cherish her memories are her loving husband, Francisco Vasquez Jr. of Midland, Texas, daughter Sarah Ortega of Midland, Texas, sons Seraldo Ortega of Seminole, Texas, Francisco Angel Velasquez Vasquez III of Midland, Texas, Kevin Ortega of Seminole, Texas, sister Maria Velasquez of Hobbs, New Mexico, brothers Miguel Alvarez of Seminole, Texas, Vicente Velasquez III of Seminole, Texas, Thomas Velasquez of Hobbs, New Mexico, Daniel Velasquez of Hobbs, New Mexico, and grandchildren Albion Ortega Batiahari and Precious Rosa Ortega. She is preceded in death by her parents as well as her daughter Angelica Velasquez. Cremation services have been arranged. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Karen K. Parnell, 8/2/1963 to 4/30/2024. Karen K. Parnell peacefully passed away on April 30, 2024, in Midland, Texas, after a long battle with ovarian cancer. Karen was surrounded by her family and was 60 years old. Karen was born in El Paso, Texas, and was a proud graduate of Eastwood High School and UT El Paso. Karen is survived by her husband, Stan, and two daughters, eldest Andy, 28, and her fiancé, Salvador Segura, and youngest Taylor, 24. Karen's mother, Virginia Casper, still resides in Junction, Texas. Karen's sister, Lynn Bagby, and family reside in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Karen's extended family, Donna and Denny Neeson, children and grandchildren, reside in El Paso, Texas. Karen is also survived by her work family at Salisbury Industries in Odessa, Texas. They all invite you to join them for a memorial service Wednesday, May 8, 2024, at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church on West Illinois in Midland at 2 o'clock p.m. Her family asks in lieu of flowers and donations be made to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Terry Joseph Lawler. Terry Joseph Lawler, 64, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, April 28, 2024. There are no services scheduled at this time. Arrangements were handled by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Oil report. Upstream energy jobs grow by most in 13 years. Upstream oil and natural gas jobs in Texas have continued to regain the losses seen beginning in 2020 as the COVID-19 pandemic took hold. Citing Texas Workforce Commission data, the Texas Oil and Gas Association reports employment in the upstream sector of the state's oil and gas industry grew by 4,500 jobs in March, the highest single-month growth in upwards jobs since June of 2011. Quote, the latest employment numbers show that we all show what we all know here in the Permian, that America and the world run on energy, and the Permian Basin will continue to provide it. These energy needs will continue to provide good-paying jobs for thousands for many years to come, end quote. Ben Shepard, president, Permian Basin Petroleum Association, commented to the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, March's historic increase in jobs in the Texas oil and natural gas industry's upstream sector is a result of this industry's commitment to ensuring that American energy leadership's home base continues to be here in the Lone Star State, end quote, said Todd Staples, TXOGA president, in a statement. Quote, these job gains mean economic growth for Texas communities and families, energy security for the United States, and much-needed stability for our trading partners around the globe, end quote. Since the COVID low point in September of 2020, months of increase in upstream oil and gas employment in Texas have outnumbered months of decrease by 33-9. In that time, industry has added 39,500 Texas upstream jobs, an average growth of 940 jobs a month. These jobs pay among the highest wages in Texas, with employers in oil and natural gas paying an average salary of over $124,000 in 2023. Labor analysts with the TWC tell the Reporter Telegram that from March 2019 to March 2024, the Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties, added 1,300 jobs in mining, logging, and construction for a growth rate of 3.3%. Mining, logging, and construction employment in the Midland MSA reached 40,800 positions in March 2024, 2,800 more jobs than the pre-pandemic, February 2020 level. This marked a growth rate of 7.4% for mining, logging, and construction employment in the Midland MSA over that time. From March 2019 to March 2024, analysts said the Midland MSA outperformed Texas as a whole, which saw a rise of 31,700 positions in the sector and a growth rate of 3.1%. Growth in the oil and gas component of mining, logging, and construction had already begun to slow statewide and in the Midland MSA in 2019. In 2020, the Midland MSA experienced significant employment declines in the industry during the COVID-19 pandemic, but experienced rapid growth in 2021, which remained steady throughout 2022 before slowing in 2023. In the metropolitan areas with the highest concentration of mining, logging, and construction jobs, Midland dominates with 33% of its total non-farm employment in the sector. That's 40,800 jobs out of 121,700 total non-farm jobs. Odessa is second with 23.4% and Longview with 12.8%. Corpus Christi is fourth with 12.4%. For Texas as a whole, 7.5% or 1,048,400 out of a total non-farm job count of 14,066,600 is in the mining, logging, and construction sector. From 2020 to 2030, in the Permian Basin Workforce Development Area, it's projected that service unit operators, oil and gas, will add the greatest number of positions with a 58.7% growth rate. This occupation is expected to make up 12.3% of jobs in the industry by 2030, followed by roustabouts, oil and gas, 9.8%, and first-line supervisors of construction trades and extraction workers, 6.4%. In Texas, from 2020 to 2030, it's projected that roustabouts, oil and gas, will add the greatest number of positions with a 49.6% growth rate. This occupation is expected to make up 9.1% of jobs in the industry by 2030, followed by service unit operators, oil and gas, 8.0%, and heavy and tractor-trailer truck drivers, 6.0%. ProPetro ExxonMobil signed deal for electric hydraulic fracturing services. ProPetro Services has signed an agreement to provide electric hydraulic fracturing services to ExxonMobil operations in the Permian Basin over the next 3 years. Quote, it's a great endorsement, a great seal of approval that someone like ExxonMobil, a leading producer globally, was confident in our solutions, end quote. David Schorlemmer, Chief Financial Officer, told the Reporter Telegram. Schorlemmer noted that the company had several of its dual-fuel fleets working for ExxonMobil over the last several years. And, quote, this is the next step for them to transition from dual-fuel, which is 60% diesel fuel displacement, to fully electric, which is 100% diesel displacement, end quote. Under the agreement, ProPetro will dedicate two of its Force SM electric hydraulic fracturing fleets to ExxonMobil, along with wireline and pump down services. One fleet is already at work, a second will be added by late June, and a third is expected to be added in early 2025, according to Schorlemmer. In the wake of the agreement with ExxonMobil, quote, other customers are demonstrating interest, and we believe there will be opportunities for deployment with existing and new customers, end quote, he said. The limiting factor is power generation, he said. The grid serving the Permian Basin currently does not have the capacity to meet the rising demand coming from an oil patch that is increasingly becoming electrified. Schorlemmer said the company's electric fleets can operate off-turbine generators and other mobile generators. Those generators are powered by natural gas, and he explained customers can use residual gas from their operations, thus reducing costs and emissions. Quote, eventually they will migrate to being powered by the grid, end quote, he predicted. Quote, customers can create their own microgrids that are part of the broader electric grid, but dedicated to their locations, end quote. Schorlemmer said the Force SM electric hydraulic fracturing fleet ProPetro began introducing last year, quote, is part of the electrification of the oil field using proven technology that is the fifth generation. It has been delivering excellent results, end quote. Community. Introvert forms connections through college. Quote, for the first 18 years of my life, I was a total introvert, end quote, Mia Wojtek said. Quote, it wasn't until I started volunteering through the Legacy Scholars Program that I was able to truly enjoy people and form personal connections, end quote. Quote, Mia has been a wonderful addition to the Legacy Scholars Program, end quote. Megan Brinks, Student Services Dean and Director of the Midland College Legacy Scholars Program, said. Quote, during her first year, Mia's inclination was always to let other people speak up and to stay in the background. This past year, however, she stepped into leadership roles, offering her opinions and using the skills she learned to network across campus. She was part of the Legacy Scholars Sophomore Academy, and I'm so impressed with how she pushed herself out of her comfort zone to talk to leaders across campus and get involved in fundraising efforts. She's not shy about talking to other students anymore, and I'm so excited to see what the future holds for her, end quote. Wojtek was born in Amarillo and then moved to Pocatello, Idaho, where she started school. In 2019, she moved to Midland to live with her father, Daryl Wojtek, a graphic designer for Calendars Gallery and Framing in Midland. Quote, I attended Midland High School and graduated in May 2022, end quote, she explained. Quote, in order to be eligible for the Legacy Scholars Program at Midland College, I started volunteering with the Midland County Public Library during my junior year in high school. I had to communicate with other volunteers and patrons. Those volunteer experiences were the impetus for coming out of my shell as an anxious introvert, end quote. She said that when she started attending Midland College in the fall of 2022, she also began working part-time as a library assistant in the Faskin Learning Resource Center, Midland College Library. Part of her job responsibilities included interacting with her fellow students by checking in and out books, helping locate research material, and general customer service responsibilities. She said that those duties also helped her be more comfortable around people. Quote, don't get me wrong, end quote, Wojtek said. Quote, I'm still an introvert. I didn't completely change my personality or my fondness of solitude, and I don't think I will ever enjoy a crowded party. But I do now enjoy one-on-one engagement and small groups of people in calm environments. A lot of people associate introversion with being shy, aloof, arrogant, or generally disliking people. But we introverts do not fear or dislike others, and contrary to popular belief, we are not plagued by loneliness. Unlike more extroverted individuals, we gain energy from reflection, end quote. Wojtek is in good company as an introvert. Some famous, successful introverts include Bill Gates, Albert Einstein, Warren Buffett, J.K. Rowling, Mark Zuckerberg, and Emma Watson. According to a January 28, 2021 article in Harvard Business Review, quote, introverts have a natural ability to build deep and meaningful connections. They just do it a bit differently. In addition, they are great listeners who can capture information that some extroverts might overlook, end quote. On Tuesday, April 30th, at the annual Legacy Scholars Celebration, Wojtek was one of seven Legacy Scholars to receive the Herbert L. Cartwright Continuance Scholarship from the Abel Hanger Foundation. This scholarship is awarded to a select group of graduating MC Legacy Scholars who plan to transfer to a Texas public university. On Friday, May 10th, WasTech will graduate from Midland College with an Associate of Arts degree and a 3.7 GPA. And in August, she will transfer to West Texas A&M University, WTAMU, in Canyon, where she plans to major in English with the hopes of eventually going into journalism and or editing. Quote, I've loved to write all my life, end quote, she said. Quote, I guess that's part of being an introvert, enjoying the solitude of writing. My favorite writing genres are sci-fi, fantasy, and fictional crime. My ultimate goal is to one day be published, end quote. She also enjoys drawing. An art class with Professor Dagan Sherman was among her favorite classes at Midland College. Other favorite courses included speech with Dr. Stephen Gaines and history with Dr. Todd Hook. Her all-time favorite class while attending MC was English with Melissa Boyce. Quote, I first met Mia in a composition class and soon realized she'd be much more than a passive writer of boring college English papers, end quote, Boyce said. Quote, from the start, she was enthusiastic about the material. She brought a keen perspective and wit to the table that everyone appreciated. Wherever she goes, she creates warmth and light. She is a true scholar, and I'm proud of her, end quote. Besides writing, in her spare time, WasTech enjoys watching films, especially horror and psychological thrillers, roller skating, and playing with her grandmother's chihuahua. When she begins taking classes at WTAMU, she plans to look for full-time employment in order to help pay for living expenses. With her volunteer involvement at Midland County Public Library and her part-time work experience in the Midland College Library, she hopes to continue working in a library setting, a job that fits well with her introverted personality and allows her to still collaborate with others on a meaningful level. Being the most talkative person in the room may be a good way to get people's attention, but it doesn't necessarily ensure the best ideas. So, while WasTech said that she now enjoys meeting people and forming connections, she still values solitude and the joy of being alone, reading, studying, meditating, designing, or any number of other quiet and worthwhile activities.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, May 4th. Long-standing tradition, Reagan Elementary to host visiting author. Capping off a year of writing their own books, Reagan Elementary School students will get a visit from author Alan Woodrow. Woodrow, the author of more than 30 books for children, will be at Reagan from 8:30 a.m. to 2:05 p.m. May 6th, talking to 2nd through 5th grade students. 5th grade English language arts and reading teacher Amy Barnes arranges the author visits. Crockett Middle School art teacher Priscilla Hernandez painted hallway doors at Reagan in preparation for the visit. Having written books themselves, students then get a chance to hear from a published writer to tell them about the writing process and things that they struggled with before becoming an author. Barnes said they walk the students through their own writing process, give them ideas, brainstorm with them, and help them edit their stories. Jeremy Kratz, a former Reagan student, visited the campus in February. Woodrow has not been to Reagan before. Quote, this is my 15th year to have authors come, so usually I just sit down and I get on the computer and I just start searching popular books or books that I think the kids would like. This year, I sat down and I did a Scholastic Book Club's search, Barnes said. His name came up, and I watched his videos on his website and some YouTube videos, and I thought, well, he's going to be entertaining and have a lot to offer our campus, Barnes said. Hernandez's children went to Reagan, and Barnes said she learned Hernandez was a talented painter, so she reaches out to her every year as soon as the author is booked to paint the doors. Hernandez says she enjoys how the students look at every detail on the paintings. Quote, it's pretty crazy because they look at all the detail. You don't think that they do, but they do, she added. Woodrow will be talking to 2nd through 5th grade students, so she anticipates that will be 450 to 500 kids. Quote, from my educator's perspective, they get to connect with somebody that they've read their book, so they get to see that it's possible, and then the fact that they're writing their own books, that someday their books can be published. They get to see what the writing process looks like from beginning to end themselves, and hear what the author has to say about his trials and tribulations of writing a book. So they get to have it from all sides, and hopefully they connect with one of the authors that's coming, Barnes said. Hopefully, this will inspire them to become better readers and writers, she added. Barnes has been at Reagan for 16 years, and the students were writing books before that. When she came to Reagan, the principal asked if she could find an author to visit. Quote, "It took me a year to get it under my belt and figure out how to get one here. Then, my second year here, we started having them, and sometimes we have two. Sometimes we have three, just depending on what money is in the budget. We don't go through the office budget. Our PTA helps us raise money through a Reagan Fest, and we generate funds that way so that we can just pay an author directly," Barnes said. She talks or messages with the authors directly. "We're very fortunate that our spring fundraiser, called Reagan Fest, and it's a silent auction and donations come in that way. Our PTA is on board with helping keep this tradition going. They help purchase our books that the kids write and use, and then they help me get an author here," Barnes said. The school has a Young Authors Day, May 21st. Quote, "Their parents come and sign it, and their friends and teachers, so they have like a little memory book," she added. "It takes about a year to organize an author visit." Quote, "I usually start looking around this time of year for the next year," Barnes said. Once she finds them, she starts booking airlines, figuring out how to bring the authors here, how much it's going to cost, and figuring out a schedule, to name a few items. A few of the students get to have lunch with the visiting author. Quote, "It's a tradition. Then, on the day he comes, during lunchtime, these five kids will pick a friend, so 10 kids will get to go and eat lunch with him and talk to him and ask him questions. That's another way we raise funds to help pay for an author coming every year. We have 10 kids who get to eat with the author, they get an autographed book, and they get to spend an hour, just them, talking with him in a small setting, and they enjoy that," Barnes said. There have been other schools that have partnered with Reagan to have author visits, but Barnes didn't think anybody had a long-standing tradition like her campus. Quote, "I think that's what makes us unique," she added. Barnes said she is looking forward to the event. Quote, "It's my passion. If I wasn't a teacher, I would want to be somebody who schedules authors to go into elementary campuses and even middle school. I think it's important for the kids to get to have that bonding and connection with somebody who's actually published a book that they know that's sitting on their teacher's shelves or in their libraries," she added. Barnes said she wanted to give a shout-out to the Reagan PTA. Quote, "They are amazing at helping us get this going and continue the tradition every year. I couldn't do it without Janice Wilson in the library because she turns her classroom upside down so that I can keep it teaching in my classroom and host an author all day long. I couldn't do it without her, and then, of course, the administration for allowing us to continue this tradition and keep it going for our campus," Barnes said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.